What is a lease for rental properties and landlords? That's today's show. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris. I'm the founder of Morris Invest, and welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. This is the show where we talk about passive income, buy and hold real estate for the purposes of creating legacy wealth for you and your family. Today on the show, I want to talk about leases. Now, this seems like a pretty rudimentary thing, very, very simple, right? We all understand what a lease is or a rental agreement and who should sign one, how long should they last. Not so fast. Very often, people have no idea who should be signing a lease, what the difference between a rental agreement, what the difference between that and a lease is. They're actually two different things. And there's a lot of different mechanics that go into leases. So we're going to dive into some of those things today. First off, let's talk about some examples of what leases are or what tenants in real estate. So a tenant is somebody who's going to sign a lease for a piece of real estate. Now, on the properties that we own, of course, we're having tenants sign one-year leases. And we'll get to some of the ins and outs of that in just a moment, but it can be anyone. It can be an individual looking to live in residential rental space. It could be a retail store that wants to lease a commercial space from a larger mall, right? You see those for retail space available all the time as you're driving around. It could be an office. It could be a doctor's office, a business looking for space for their practice. That may be a tenant. It could also be another landlord leasing land to use as parking spaces for his tenants. So you may have a landlord that may have pieces of land that they can then lease out to tenants of their apartment complex for a fee. Or maybe you want to be able to park a boat on a particular piece of land. You can sign a lease for that piece of land. It could also be a company that's leasing advertising space on the side of a building. So a lease could be signed. I want to put up a billboard on the side. If you in New York City, you would see all of, you know, huge billboards on the tops of other buildings. They're paying for those spaces, right? They're leasing that space from that particular skyscraper. Additionally, you may also have AT&T or Verizon signing a lease agreement to put a cell tower on top of a skyscraper. They'll lease that space on top of buildings. I know in the broadcasting world, we do that all the time. In fact, at the top of the Empire State Building, there are many, many lease agreements in place for all of those satellite dishes that sit atop of the Empire State Building where King Kong used to hang off the side of it. Another thing could be a company leasing land again. Separate from the building itself, it could be land where they're leasing cell phone space to put up a cell phone tower. So if you've got 100 acres, there may be a section of that 50 feet wide by, 50 foot square with a fence around it, and that company is leasing that land from that company. So let's dive into now the five different purposes, the five different mechanics of a lease and what a purpose of a lease. Number one, what is the purpose of a lease? Well, a lease is meant to protect both a tenant and the landlord by letting each side know their obligations in this situation and spells it out. The lease will include the length of the time that this person is going to be staying in the property. It could also include the monthly or the yearly rent amount. Also the procedures for collecting rent. That's very important. Do you drop it off at the leasing office in the form of a paper check? Do you mail it in? Is this something that you do direct deposit from your employer? All of those things are spelled out into the purpose of the lease. And so this is all incumbent upon the tenant while they're leasing that property. They need to know that information. They better get their rent payment in on the first of the month, because if it's not picked up by the third of the month, then we've got a problem, or the fifth of the month. So all of those things are spelled out in what the purpose of a lease. If the landlord or tenant breaks any terms of this lease too, then the lease is no longer binding. It's just like breaking a contract. If one party does not adhere to the lease agreement, boom, you're done. And the offending party may be subject then to legal action. So in the form of an eviction, right? This can be an eviction process, and there could be a financial penalty for the breach of the contract. I have a whole other series of videos where we talk about the difference and landlord-friendly states, states that have are landlord-friendly. Check out that video on our YouTube channel as well as our podcast channel, because it's very, very important to have an understanding of those states where evictions can take a long ass time. let's be honest. If you're in a landlord-friendly state, that's great news, because if a tenant stops paying, then you can get right in there and go right down to the courthouse, get that eviction filed, and it can be done in a matter of weeks. And that's where we like to invest. We like to invest in cities that have very landlord-friendly rules and obligations. So you could wind up in tenant-friendly states, you know, like California and New Jersey and New York, where it can take months and months and months to get a non-paying tenant out of a property. So again, that lease, if anybody breaks the terms of that lease, then there may be a legal action, financial obligation on the part of the other side. So now, what is the difference between a lease and a rental agreement? Now, you may be saying to yourself, they're both the same thing, right? So number two, what's the difference between a rental agreement and a lease? Well, a lease actually is typical for about 1 year, and it denotes a certain amount of time. So you can have leases for 6 months to a year, and both parties enter into this contract, and the lease, so the details of this particular lease agreement cannot be changed by either party until that contract expires after 6 months to a year. You are locked in to paying $1,000 a month for a year. The owner cannot suddenly decide to increase your rent 6 months into this deal. That's not going to fly. So that is a legally binding contract for the duration of that time. The difference with a rental agreement, it's a much shorter contract. Let me back up a little bit. With the lease agreement, you have individuals who sign that lease agreement for 6 months or a year. You then, after that 6 months or a year expires, you move into like a month to month, and they have to renew the lease. So you typically move into a month to month with that client, with that tenant. But typically you need to have that tenant come back into the rental office and sign a new lease agreement. That is very typical. That's what we do with our property management teams that we work with, that after that time frame expires, they have to come back in and sign a new contract. Maybe you've increased the rent after a year, or there is some change. They have to come back in, or they have to decide to leave. They have to make another commitment to stay. With a rental agreement, that's the other definition. A rental agreement is an entirely different thing. It's a much shorter contract. It's typically about 30 days in length, and it really renews at the end of each month until the other party cancels it. So if you went into a rental agreement with someone for a piece of land, maybe you're putting up a billboard, you're parking your truck on someone's land, and you have a rental agreement with that person, and it just renews month to month to month, that's a rental agreement. It's a much shorter contract, and many states, notice must be given 30 days before any changes could be made to that rental agreement. So it's a very fluid kind of agreement. And often, typically, you know, you'll see that sometimes where people need like a 60-day rental agreement or a 90-day rental agreement if they're a temporary worker and they're opening up a new restaurant in a particular town and they're only going to be there for a certain amount of time. They will sign a rental agreement, not a lease agreement. So who should sign the lease? I know it seems like a silly question, but the lease should be signed by the landlord or the landlord's agent, as well as by all of the tenants who are over the age of 18. So if you've got minors living in the property, they don't have to sign that lease agreement. It's very important, though, that all the parties living inside that residence who are going to be adherent to that lease have to sign, or they're conducting business. They must sign that lease agreement. And here's an example of why that's so important, because a husband and wife move into your property. They sign a one-year lease. However, the husband only puts his name on the lease, and then he therefore is the only one responsible for paying rent. Well, let's say 1 month after that couple moves in, husband leaves, divorce, dun, dun, dun. And guess what? No one ever gets divorced, right? Right? So husband leaves. Now the wife, she wasn't on the lease. That's a big problem for you as a landlord, right? You want to make sure the people that are moving into that property are on the lease. And any property management company always makes sure that the people that are moving in are signing the lease if they're over the age of 18. And that's why she's not then, you know, that wife is not obligated to abide by it. But that's, again, why we're in landlord-friendly states. So if something like that were to ever pop up, you can move quickly to get that person to sign the lease or get them out of that property. They don't have a legal – they're not legally bound to stay there. But in New York, in New Jersey, in California, they could stay there. They could squat for a long time, and you do not want that. All right. Next one. Number four on the list for lease agreements. Should I have a lawyer create the lease? There are many leases that you can find online. Many are a good starting point, but you should never really rely. If you're building your own lease, you know, you're doing this yourself. You are your own property management company. For instance, I had an investor out of the Philippines reach out to me the other day and said, do you have a copy of a lease agreement you could send me that I could use? We're going to start to rent out our property. And I said, no, I don't. I don't know what the Philippine laws are for leasing, but I'm sure you could Google a Philippine lease agreement, contact a local property management company. They may give you a good starting place. Then you're going to want to reach out to a lawyer and maybe make sure that it's up to par for your particular needs, because there may be a paragraph or something that's missing. So if you're doing this on your own, craft the lease the way that you want it. Maybe you don't want pets in your property. Maybe you you don't want cars parked in a certain place at your property. Maybe you don't want loud noise after a certain time of the day. These are all things that you can put into a lease agreement if you are the owner and you want to do that with a lawyer. So it's always wise to consult someone and who can build sort of a custom lease for yourself. You should have a real estate attorney sort of going over your lease and making sure that they can make it perfect for you. Number five, how many pages should a lease be? Well, a lease can be anywhere from 1 to 20 pages. I mean, you can really get into the weeds with stuff. The more in-depth your lease is, of course, the better protected you are. However, don't confuse a long lease with a good lease. There are certain basics that every lease should include. In some states, there are clauses that landlords see as essential, while other states you can omit those. But really, as your landlord career grows and your experience grows, you will add in certain things. On the pet issue, for instance, my philosophy on pets in property, in rental properties, especially dogs, right? And it's very difficult for tenants to find great properties where they can have a dog. And so the properties that I do, that I like to rehab and keep in my personal portfolio, are single family homes. Those are my favorite, right? 3-bedroom, 1-bath, 2-bedroom, 1-bath. Those are my bread and butter. Well, guess what? If you've got a yard, you got a driveway, and even sometimes a fence in the backyard, a tenant who can have a dog there is likely to stay for a longer period of time, because it's hard for tenants with dogs or pets to move around a lot, because it's hard for them to find a great property. So what are you really cleaning? Carpet? You're going to touch up the paint when they move out? Big deal. You got to put in some new carpet. You got to clean the carpet, which you're going to do anyway. Is a dog really going to destroy your house? It might. If you got a massive dog that chews through a door, okay. But at the end of the day, probably not going to be a big problem for you. And therefore, by having pets in the property, probably gives you a likelihood that you're going to have some tenants who are going to stay a long time, especially if you allow them to have pets in the property. So I like having pets. I don't mind it at all. And therefore, I remove that from a lot of my lease agreements. I think I have in some of my lease agreements, I have like the large dog clause, you know, if it's over 75 pounds or something ridiculous. That's in there, I think, on a lot of my properties, but that's just kind of standard. So I don't really worry about that stuff. Again, but if you, it's all up to you, your sort of personal, your sort of personal information. So there you go. That's a look at what goes into a lease, the difference between a lease and a rental agreement. If you have any questions, I would love to hear your thoughts. You can always leave your comments below if you're watching the video version of this. And we love thanking you so much for your subscription service to this, to watching our videos and to subscribing. It really means the world to us. Thank you kindly for all of your great feedback on everything that we do. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. We'll see you next time, everyone.